Late Night Gamers Podcast, where we make all of your gaming habits seem acceptable.
Late Night Gamers.
This game sucks so bad, it's so unbalanced, blah, and I just quit, never play it ever again.
Carl.
What do you do in your free time? Sit around knitting? Screw that shit, I'm gonna cut up a dragon's head.
It's okay if your guts spill out and you explode into a bloody mess, as long as you don't take your clothes off.
Late Night Gamers. What is up, everybody? Welcome to Late Night Gamers Podcast, episode number 43. We've had a 2-week hiatus, but with me this week and every week that we actually record is Tim Madden.
I'm the Queen of France!
Steve Morgan.
Steve on squared.
And Charles Calvo.
Doodle Magoo, motherfucker.
I don't even know what you just said there. Doodle Magoo?
I liked it, though.
That's good. That's good. So, we're going to talk a little bit about bigger things that we've done over the past 2 weeks, but anything you guys want to talk about?
So I was gone for a whole week in South Dakota digging up rocks for research, and literally standing in a riverbank and with a pickaxe, I was grinding mining in WoW for a whole week in real life.
Couldn't your research have to do with just colliding rocks together?
It's not like the Hadron Collider of rocks.
So you're going to Iowa because there's a special rock that if you collide it with another special rock, it does something special.
It creates an anti-rock, which, like...
That'd be awesome. If
then you
real.
Just get sucked into it.
I crush rocks. So basically we needed, like, just a certain outcrop that's under the Rocky Mountains is in this part in South Dakota that we went out to. But, so I spent the whole week there, and then I was camping the week after in New Hampshire, and it just rained the whole week. I even bought this really sweet solar panel phone charger on Amazon. I was so happy.
I saw that.
Yeah, and I got it, and sick. I was like, I hung it up, like, on the tent, and then just rained the whole week. I was like, this sucks. Got no use out of it.
Sucks. So, yeah. Where are you camping?
Gorham up by Mount Washington.
Yeah, okay.
Nice.
Yeah. We go every year in July, so...
Sweet.
Cool.
That's me.
Tim.
I've done literally nothing. Like, I got up. Actually, well, I went home. I'll talk a little about that later, but I went home for a little while and then came back here, and that's about it. Nothing.
You moving back out here in September?
Yeah, I'll be... we're looking at places around Boston now, so...
Cool.
Yeah, end of August, beginning of September.
That's awesome. It's good.
I actually moved right by where your brother lives, or I don't know if he still lives there, but into a house literally like a block away from there. It's crazy.
That's awesome.
Cool. Yeah, it's a cool spot.
Yeah, it's nicer.
Our podcast stickers are all over that place.
Yeah, it's everywhere.
Charles, what about you?
I've been going to a wedding and having a housewarming party. Dancing till 3 a.m. and having some stranger look in, smoking a cigarette.
Sounds like a music video.
But biding my energy until this weekend, because this weekend is when we go to Tupper Lake for extrubing, which is extreme tubing, and I've been saving my energy, making sure that I'm physically fit to get the water beat the crap out of myself, so...
Excellent. Who are you going with?
Oh, we go with, it's me and Jess, and then Jake Ryder has a house on there, so.
Oh, nice. Nice.
Yar.
Cool. I also went to a wedding, 2 weekends ago or something, and my birthday was in this meantime, in the middle, sometime. That's about it.
Happy birthday!
I did my birthday present. Dana wasn't sure what to get me for my birthday, so I was like, "Oh, this is a perfect opportunity." I saw on Craigslist there was a yard sale like half an hour from us, and he had four boxes of NES and Sega Genesis games. So
they posted that.
I left with like 12 games. It was fantastic.
That's awesome.
I was very excited about that. But yeah, that's about it. I'll save my thing for later. But
speaking of old games too, I saw it. I don't know if this is what all Borders turned into, but like there's this place called BAM now, which is like where Borders used to be. And I was and I was in this place like thinking it was a new store, and it's literally just like Borders. And they had actually like these old systems that played like NES, Super Nintendo, Genesis like games. And I was like, wow. I mean, what is the market for this? Like, they even had like the controllers and stuff. I'm like, I don't know. It was really interesting to see that in like a mainstream store. I was like, so now what? Like, you buy this thing and then pull out all your Super Nintendo games, I guess. But
yeah,
that's like weird. With like virtual like console now and like Wii and all these other things. Like, it's so hard to be like, yeah, I want to go buy a like, especially like unless you're a game collector. Like, you're not gonna like have like the games to play, and you can't rent them from Blockbuster, so it's like kind of like, I don't know, I thought it was a little weird, but
yeah.
Even then, you have to like build an addition to your house to store all the cartridges. Yeah, stuff, like.
I have an entire one of those tubs, like the Rubbermaid tubs, like filled to the brim, and it is, and they're not just like dumped in there; they're perfectly stacked sideways, like, and it's like four rows high. So
jeez,
get serious. Crazy.
Yep. I like it. I did go to speaking of old games though, I went to this place called Tilt. It's a classic arcade bar up in South Burlington, and it's the first arcade bar in Vermont, and I was pumped about it. I went there on my birthday. It's all the box arcade games where it was like Pac-Man and Centipede and Street Fighter and a bunch of pinball machines and stuff. It was sick. But the waitress just comes around and just says, what do you want to drink? And then
that's cool.
It's awesome. So you can just drink and play video games the entire time.
That is a distinctive feature missing from FunSpot.
I know. Yeah. Tell me about it. Okay. I think we had this conversation. That was FunSpot would like they're assets would triple if profits.
Your liability insurance would skyrocket, though. You imagine all the kids on the freaking hippo carts.
Yeah,
the guy
keeps
the drunk ass like, people on the hippo carts just crashing into each other, driving off course. You know.
I feel like that's the whole point of like the bingo side is like keep all the drunk crazies over there.
Riffraff.
Yeah.
Oh my god. Yeah.
I've never been in that building, surprisingly.
Physically separate the old women that are, like, hammered playing bingo from, like, the rest of the
What do you mean there's not a B8? I heard you say B8!
Oh, God.
Terrible.
Mm-hmm.
Well, get it? I think we're gonna try and cover a little bit of the little... Talk about
we got a
little
ton
bit of
to
news.
Talk about.
Yeah, all kinds of stuff from the past 2 weeks. And the first thing, which I think is probably the oldest one on here, is the Hearthstone tournament in Europe was originally open to only men, and then they eventually allowed women to enter. But
what were they afraid of?
Well, cleavage. The way they argued the way they argued it was that. They wanted to make it a legitimate sport, so somehow by basing their legitimacy on segregating men and women, which doesn't make any sense. It makes sense in a physical sport where it's like you don't want like women and men in football like colliding with each other or like something like that. But in terms of fast twitch
sometimes
muscles,
you do. I've definitely clotheslined several people playing frisbee that were women, so
that's
I've got
totally
no qualms.
Yeah. See, that's the
thing. I think society is progressive enough that we could have like co-ed professional sports, and I think that's kind of like what they realized with this. You know, I understand what they were trying to go for. They wanted it to be like you know, even like a college sport. They wanted to be like the, you know, to say okay, we, you know, we have this one's only male only, or, you know, to be fair, they should have like a female only tournament, but there'd be like zero people for that, so it makes more sense that they would just allow everyone. Because, I mean, in terms of like physical differences, there really isn't any when your only interface is a computer.
Yeah. There's none. Just silly. Yeah. It's for a game. It's just like, really?
Don't they have different, like, don't they have, like, men and female, like, chess competitions, though?
They probably do. I can understand their reasoning for doing it, but...
That just seems ridiculous.
Like, yeah, it is a little weird.
I feel like for, you know, in terms of, like, new frontiers, gaming is about as cutting edge as you can get. And if there's a chance for them to, like, make something, you know, to make a change, that's... Where would be better, you know?
Yeah, openness is better than being closed. I mean, it's interesting to say that logic wasn't about, like, oh, women are stupid, oh, they're not going to be able to play the games.
Yeah.
But it's just like, really? Yeah. Really? You think that's going to fly? Especially with a game like Hearthstone. It's a Blizzard product. There's so many people play Blizzard projects.
Yeah. And not only that, but Hearthstone is like, there's... I mean, I could almost see if you were going to say that there, if it was like a shooter or an FPS where there could potentially be like Twitch differences, you know, but there's literally, it's like a strategy game. It's all about thinking, and, you know, there would be no difference between a guy and a girl playing the game.
Yeah. Unless they're concerned that the girls are going to beat them, and then they'll have some really upset players. Which, at the same time, it's just like, good for them. I want to see that. I want to see that integration. I want to see, you know, I want to see girls and like females just kind of rising up and showing everyone else that, you know, they're just as viable in these in video games as you know guys are.
Yeah, I mean, I think also this could have just been like a publicity stunt because honestly, who even knew that they were having a Hearthstone?
Yeah.
But now we all know.
But come on, guys. It's like the Marines. You got to shit in a bucket for this tournament. So they don't want women to shit in a bucket when they're participating.
Yeah, that might be true.
I never heard about shitting in a bucket in the Marines, but I believe you.
Maybe it was the real Special Forces. Chuck Norris will know. Who knows?
Chuck Norris doesn't shit.
Oh. Okay, speaking of Chuck Norris...
Diamonds. What are you talking about?
His ass clenches so hard it breaks everything. Diamonds come out here. I was speaking of Chuck Norris, I was going to say, have you guys seen the Expendables 3?
I have not. I think I saw a little bit of it on TV. Trailer. But I haven't seen the I didn't watch the trailer. I was just like, is that a trailer for Expendables 3?
Yeah. It looks ridiculous.
What? Has like everyone, every action actor in like the past 30 years since.
Yep. I have no idea what the budget of that movie is because.
Yeah, come on, Blizzard, take a page out of Sylvester Stallone's casting production company. Be inclusive, goddammit.
The IMDb page has like the picture of the cast, and it like extends over my entire widescreen monitor like, from side to side. It's just like it's like 30 people.
It's insane.
It has people in it that, like, aren't even actors. It has, like, Ronda Rousey from, like, USC. Sylvester Stallone, Jason Statham, Jet Li, Antonio Banderas, Wesley Snipes, Dolph Lundgren, Mel Gibson, Harrison Ford, Arnold Schwarzenegger, Kelsey Grammer.
Yes! What? He's in the commercial.
I don't even know
what to say about all this. I am pleased with this result. I am pleased.
I'm pretty sure this is actually, this is like the movie version of Frasier. Kelsey Grammer plays Frasier Crane.
I haven't seen any other ones, but I feel like I probably don't have to see this one.
No. You should see the other ones. They're good. Good in a terrible way.
Yeah, the first one was pretty good, but it was bad.
Yeah, I saw parts
of the second one was just ridiculous.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, the first one took itself... I mean, I don't want to say it took itself super seriously, but it was pretty serious. Because... Mickey Rourke was in it. And then the second one was just like, whatever. It was really good. It was good, though.
Now they just need Steven Seagal on board. Because he's a sheriff's deputy, isn't he?
There's so many people.
Do they have Steven Seagal in the third one?
I don't think so.
I think I heard something about him not taking a part unless he's like the main actor.
I heard plus that he asked Steven Seagal and he asked Jean-Claude Van Damme and they both were like, no.
I would love it if they were in that man. Oh my god.
No, plus, Jean-Claude Van Damme's like, never mind, I'm making movies that are based on my own life. Like JCVD. Like, come on.
Plus Steven Seagal was like though he starred in so many movies that are like pro America, like he jerking off the American flag. He is very pro-Russian right now and is like thinking about getting Russian citizenship.
That's uncomfortable.
Isn't there a movie where Steven Seagal like dies in like the first 5 minutes?
Yes, Executive Action or whatever.
Were we just talking about this?
Yes.
I feel like I was just talking about someone.
Yeah, I always am talking about that movie. Executive. What was it called?
They kill him off in the first 5 minutes?
I feel like all of his movies would have been better off if they took that.
What are you talking about? Under Siege? Movie. He's just a chef. Just a cook.
It's called
just
Executive Decision. He just dies in like the first 8 minutes. He's like, there's like a plane that's like connected to another plane, and he's like fighting somewhere or something, and then all of a sudden the plane's disconnected, and he just like flies away, his ragdoll body. Like,
so who's the star of that movie?
He's on the like cover if you look at the like people in the movie. It's like Kurt Russell, Steven Seagal. It's like, no, he's not even in it. It's the same with it's like Bryan Cranston or whatever his name is, the guy from Breaking Bad, the guy who's in Godzilla, and he just dies in like the first 20. Spoiler alert for whoever hasn't seen it, but he just dies in like 25 minutes.
That's like 25 minutes. Yeah, that's not 8 minutes.
No, it's not as bad, but I just remember laughing like in the movie theater, like, he's not gonna die, he's the main character. And then he died, and I was like, well, this is awkward.
I feel like a large portion of people probably went to see, they're like, oh, Bryan Cranston, then it should be okay. I can justify it seeing.
I've got a right to know.
What's the? There's another movie. I think it's The Grudge 2. With the, have you guys seen The Grudge?
I've seen it.
It's a horror movie. The first one. See The Grudge. If you don't like Sarah Michelle Gellar, just watch The Grudge 2 because she dies in like the first like 5 minutes of the, or 10 minutes of the movie, and she gets thrown off the top of a building, and it's awesome.
She's the number one actor in this on the cast list too.
She's in the first one, right?
Yeah, she was the main character in the first one.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. That's what I thought.
They're like, we can't really afford her for the second one, but
we can afford you for 5 minutes. Yeah. So you're gonna die.
They're like, how much will it cost you to just die in the first 5 minutes?
That's at least $10 million.
That's what we can budget.
Come on, I was Buffy the Vampire Slayer. All right, Sarah Michelle.
Did you watch Cruel Intentions? Come on, now.
That might have been like right around when her career died, too, now that I think about it.
It was...
Was she married to some guy?
That's what girls do sometimes.
It's like Freddie Prinze Jr. or something.
I don't know. I don't really care.
I don't know.
They're all terrible.
Yeah, she is married to Freddie Prinze Jr.
I didn't know that, Charles.
Jess.
That's really weird.
Every time she's like...
Not that you know it, that exists. Like, that is the truth. It is also weird that you know it, but...
I know a lot of things.
Yes, you do. Yes, you do. Alright, let's move on.
I don't know how we got from Hearthstone to...
Freddie Prinze Jr.
Okay, I know, we gotta move on. We gotta move on.
It's like the 7 degrees of Kevin Bacon or whatever. We're talking about female players, and then Charles said something about Chuck Norris, and then Chuck Norris went to Expendables, and then Expendables went to...
I don't mean to
Jean-Claude Van Damme, who died in the beginning of
Steven Seagal,
yeah.
Steven Seagal died in the beginning of the movie, and then we started talking about people that died in the beginning of the movie, so
then Steven Seagal got
stream of consciousness!
Holy shit.
God damn.
Well, that was a good episode this week, guys.
So, did you hear about Wall Street?
X3.
Read all about it.
Okay, so there is a firm, or there's a company that's creating video games to recruit younger employees to Wall Street and other banking industry jobs, which they created the video game specifically to see what type of person they are, instead of, and they're using it in place of a resume or in addition to a resume, since they said 22-year-olds have really nothing to report on a resume apart from school.
I don't get that.
I think you know, considering that it's Wall Street, I think the goal here is to see how ruthless and evil they can be in game.
Let's make it competitive. Without,
yeah, they basically just have you play like the beginning of the Call of Duty, where you kill everyone in the airport.
If you make the choice to kill everyone, then you're a good broker. If not,
yeah,
we're gonna put you in like the janitorial staff.
If you kill everyone for the most points, then you immediately get the job.
I think the funniest thing about this article is they're like, resumes just, they can't capture what an individual is about. And I'm like, I'm thinking to myself, like, what are you reading in the resume? Like, I studied such and such at the school. Okay. Yep. What does that mean? Is what they're like looking at them like, what does that mean? Because, I mean, you bring somebody in and you're going to see what they're about. You don't need to have them play a video game. I feel like that's a level of detachment that, I don't know, it just seems very odd.
I think that this is like a kind of like a first step, but I can see this being like really useful in like a lot of different fields, you know, at least as like determining, I mean, as a like personality determiner,
yeah,
kind of like, yep, how people behave, like a behavior analysis, because you could totally, like, if you could just analyze
the same
someone
way in a video game that you would in real life.
I mean, that's true.
You
but
can't
like,
be a doctor because first, do no harm. Like,
that's true. But I think looking at like people's achievements and like what types of games they play would give you a lot of insight into, like, you know, you could totally build a profile of people if you had like a large enough sample size. If you were like a firm like this that did it for a lot of different companies, you could figure out, you know, like personalities based on the games they play and kind of build a profile and tell them where they'd be best suited, like, yeah, in a company.
But with a large enough sample size, a resume will do the same thing. I mean, if you're talking about a specific instance of somebody doing something, the resume and the game are going to be the same ambiguity. I mean, you don't, anybody can play a specific, like, if I was a doctor could play the same set of games that like somebody who's not qualified would play. So just, I don't know how well that would be, well, it would transfer to application or employment.
It's never going to replace it, but I think, you know, to kind of, you know, determine like within a group, like if someone, let's say someone plays a ton of World of Warcraft, they're like a, you know, and they play EVE Online, they're like a total min-max, so you know, they just want to look at numbers and figure out what the best gear is they could have. You know, that person would be better suited in a situation than someone who all they do is play FPSs and they're like a Twitch-based person. That's all that's the only type of game they play. You know, those are two very different personalities, potentially.
That's true.
I mean, I don't know.
I mean, it is. You're right.
And it sounds like they're also using the, not just as a, you know, a resume type material, but also as like, you know, the best placement for how your reactions within a game. And I mean, obviously the game is going to be tailored. I don't know what kind of game it is. I think you can actually go on and do it, but I'm guessing it's probably like a puzzle game or like reactionary sort of game.
Yeah, I talked about impulse control. And if you're an impulse based person, then you're more based in like sales or that, yep, in that related field.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Well, it's an interesting concept.
Interesting
to see how it progresses and if it catches on.
Yeah. They were saying that it also, they were saying that it would also be helpful for people that already have jobs and like where they might fit best within a company, which is kind of cool. But better than those
grandfather playing a video game. Somebody's never even like thought about playing a game. They're like, "What the hell are you gonna make me do?"
Yeah, I'd say there's definitely kind of like an age element to it.
Yep. But well,
anyway,
moving
on to Japan and the weird shit that they release. Japan released a special edition PlayStation 4 recently, and I just put this on here because I just thought it was ridiculous, but it's so that movie Frozen, I think, I don't know if it's Pixar or Disney or whatever. So they did a
it's Disney.
Is it Disney? Yeah. They did a PlayStation, so they did a special edition PlayStation 4, which has like the girl from Frozen and like icicles and everything.
Do they even have
like
a game?
No. There's no game for Frozen. It makes no sense.
That is bizarre. Are they trying to sell PlayStation 4s to like 6-year-old girls?
Probably. But I don't understand why it couldn't just be like, hey, buy this skin for your PlayStation 4. No, it's an actual, like, it is ingrained in the plastic of the PlayStation 4.
You should just, parents should just buy their kid one of those so they never want to be seen with it.
I feel like Frozen, I don't know, it's like everywhere, and people, that stupid song, I hate that song, I can't stand that song whenever it gets played.
I don't even remember it, I just know that it's like, eh, I don't know.
Let it go, isn't it like Let It Go or something?
Carry On or something, I don't know.
Let It Go?
Let it go, whatever.
Let It Go. I don't know, maybe that's it.
Let It Go, because I don't give a shit.
I think what they need to do is Let It Go, like literally, like quit making Frozen products. Just Let It Go, for Christ's sake. If they have to make another special edition of anything, I'm just gonna jump out a window.
Let It Go.
Adele.
Yeah. So the person that sang, can we just go to what's his face that said John her name Travolta? Wrong? John Travolta. Yeah. Her name is Idina Menzel, and he
Adele Dazeem.
Adele Dazeem. That is not even close to her name, John Travolta. You were the worst.
Because he was super high.
Because he was doing heroin, like in Pulp Fiction.
It's approved by Scientology.
Probably because his hair plugs are like seeping into his brain cavity.
Yeah, right.
Adele Dazeem. So, speaking of brain farts, it was announced that DLC for Killzone Shadowfall on PlayStation 4 will now include, among other things, the ability to fart in-game and the ability to plank in-game, which is...
Now I gotta get it.
Yeah, it sounds excellent. I wish I didn't sell it now. Because, like, you can kill someone and then just fart on their face, and that's awesome.
And then plank?
Like... Yeah, planking is, like, I don't know what you're gonna do with that. People are just gonna come up on you and be like, what the fuck are you doing? And then just shoot you in the back, and you're dead.
You're just, like, hanging off the edge of a cliff, like, planking or something. And then everyone's just like, what's going on up there? And you're like, don't worry about it. And you shoot them.
Yeah,
that's pretty cool. Although it's kind of like, I guess, not serious once you start adding that stuff in. Like even if you don't purchase it, like other people are just gonna be farting all over you and stuff.
Yeah.
So
yeah, man, I don't see where this is useful at all, except for multiplayer, and even then, it's just to, like, taunt people. I don't see anyone like playing the actual game, like, that they just want to be so immersed that they have to let out their farts in the game in real life. I'm going for full immersion here. Yeah.
Now they need to take up everything from Primal Rage and be like, you can vomit, puke, or like fart, pee on things.
You get punched in the gut really hard, you vomit instead of dying.
Mm-hmm. What they really need is like a little like smell device that like comes with the game that you plug in and it just like blasts out warm fart air whenever you use the fart thing. So you can just like fart at your enemies. Like
it'd be like a Pavlov's dog experiment where it's like, oh my god, like I have to get better at this game, otherwise I'm gonna smell farts all the time.
Yeah.
So then when someone farts, you start being better at the game.
Fart Zero, the test fart that they use for all the fart smells that you smell.
It's like they put out a fart casting call. Get everyone in.
Please fart into this
contain.
Bag.
Just load me up on radishes and peanut butter and I'll be there.
What I want to know is how you discovered that.
I was hungry.
Were you dipping radishes in peanut butter?
No, I ate, like, a bag full of radishes, and then I hit peanut butter toast, and it was like, we were driving in the car, and it was just utter destruction.
Oh, God, that's the worst.
Reese's Pieces.
Reese's Pieces always do it.
It'll also do it, but you also have to be concerned that you're also going to shit your pants, because...
It's a real gamble.
It liquefies everything.
You should definitely be on, like, a hard surface when you do that.
Yep. And incorporate some fiber into your diet.
Very important.
Just chew on it. Just chew on powdered fiber.
Let me chew on it. Baby, let me chew on it.
That can be the bed and fiber commercial.
Meatloaf, we need you.
Alright, well, moving on to sales numbers for PlayStation 4 and Xbox One. Xbox One, it's good news, actually, for everybody, because Xbox One actually doubled its numbers, right? I think.
Yeah, it's up.
It's up a bunch. It's up by 50%, and because of since the price drop in after E3 this year, but PlayStation 4 continued to outsell Xbox One even after the price drop, which I'm shocked by, honestly.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's, you know, for a lot of gamers, it's kind of a clear leader, and that's the PlayStation 4. They, you know, because they haven't really backtracked on anything yet. Microsoft's kind of gone back and forth on a lot of different things.
Yeah.
In terms of that console, I think that shows, you know, that's what shows in the numbers.
Yeah, I was expecting, at least in this first month, you know, even if PlayStation 4 outsold Xbox One next month and the month after, like, I was expecting, like, a huge influx of... which, I mean, they did have, but I was expecting it to definitely outsell PlayStation 4 since there is already, you know, they're ahead by several million at this point, so. I don't know, it's crazy. But at least they're both doing well.
Yeah, I think there's some other factors too. Like, I think Destiny is probably one of the most highly anticipated games, and they're definitely a lot closer with PlayStation, so I think that might have swayed a lot of people, you know. I consider myself one of those people. Like, if I was gonna get a console, and I really wanted Destiny, I would probably get a PlayStation instead of an Xbox, just because of the fact that, you know, the beta was on the PS4 before it was on the Xbox.
Yep.
And that, you know, they just seemed a lot closer on the PS4. But
yeah, I don't know. I mean, first of all, you should buy a PS4 because I would enjoy that. But I don't think they released the actual numbers for either console, but that means they're both doing well.
Yeah,
like month after month. So
yeah, I mean, nothing has really changed with the PS4, but if like the Xbox, you know, initially they had the always online thing, which they backtracked on.
Yep.
And then they had there was the reselling games. They weren't gonna allow you to resell games,
yeah,
that they backed
right.
Back down on.
Yep.
And then there was the Kinect that they backed down on. Like, you know, the PS4 has been pretty straightforward. You know, they had a very clear goal and they stuck with it the entire time, but Microsoft has, you know, really backtracked on a lot of aspects of the console, and I think if you're a gamer looking for a console that potentially you're going to have for like 10 years, like the last generation, you kind of want consistency, and you want, you know, kind of, I guess, leadership, if you want to call it that, but you definitely don't, you know, looking at Xbox, it doesn't feel that way.
Yeah. PlayStation just feels like the market leader at this point with regard to Xbox One, because, I mean, all of the things that PlayStation 4, it's not as though Xbox One did something different even when they're backtracking. They went right to the PlayStation stance. They went into it every time, so it was
right.
Kind of like...
Yep. Yeah, it's interesting. But we have another console-type device that's coming out on the market, and I don't know what I think about it, but the NVIDIA, which had the NVIDIA Shield initially, which was like a handheld device that could play PC games, and
yeah.
And it was like a it was like an all-in-one controller screen console sort of thing, but it was gigantic. And now they have they leaked the NVIDIA Shield tablet, which has Tegra K1. What would you call that?
It's like their mobile chipset. It's pretty, you know, they've had that. They've been doing a lot in terms of mobile GPUs, mobile chipsets for like phones and tablets and stuff. And I don't think any companies have really picked up on it, but I think this is more a way for them to kind of spur some more innovation in the tablet or handheld market, because this thing is basically it's a tablet, but it has like the graphical capabilities of a console. It's like really advanced, you know. And the one thing that seems cool about it is that it allows you to stream games just like the other one,
Steambox,
the current Shield, which is cool. Yeah. You know, if as a PC gamer personally, I think that would be really cool to be able to be in. You know, sit in the living room and stream my game to, you know, a tablet or whatever, and not have to be at my PC.
Yeah, that is pretty cool. This is definitely a better iteration than their original one, for sure.
Yeah, I think the original too, I got a chance to play with it. It was pretty cool, but like, it's not a portable device by any means. It's like a giant ass controller with a little floppy screen. It just does not. Like, I don't know what they were thinking when they designed it, because it's not. You know, I can almost like the old Game Boy Advance, I think, or Game Boy. I forget which one it was, but it was like a clamshell. You know, it's kind of the same design, but this one had like a full honking Xbox One Mega controller.
Yeah.
Like, it's just very poorly designed, but like if it was like more square and more portable, like that thing would have totally caught on.
Yeah, it's a cool concept. I think it's interesting, because I think like the somehow the Nintendo DS is still like a viable console, like handheld console essentially, with some of the newer games coming out and like Pokemon and some of the other ones that have been, you know, Fire Emblem and stuff. So I think that there's like a huge market in like cell phone and Android type games too. So I think they're trying to sort of blend these two together, but it's always tough. Like, I guess it's just tough for like a majority of the population and people like our age to get into like handheld consoles. I mean, it's relaxing and it's easy to do, and it's like, it kind of disconnects you from sitting in front of a TV or sitting in front of a computer. You can kind of do it wherever you want, which is nice, but like, that's kind of a big investment to like make, take that jump, so to speak.
No, the whole reason the whole reason you invest in a computer is that you have a system that's much, much better than in a handheld can be. In the times when you're moving around, you may not necessarily. Well, for me at least, it's like times when I'm moving around, I may not necessarily be wanting to play a game or be able to play a game. You know.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think that's this. I mean, the Shield is definitely aimed at PC users. It's definitely the target group. And it seems like a cool idea to be able to play the games. You know, I guess you don't have to be on your network either. You can be mobile, and as long as you're on Wi-Fi, you can connect back to your PC, which seems pretty cool. I'm sure it's like slow as all hell, but you know, basically just like the PlayStation streaming service. But you know, it's just a cool idea. I think it just, you know, it might be a couple years too early.
Yeah.
We'll see
the
how it does.
Will work, I'm sure.
Yeah, Hearthstone will be great. But Hearthstone's already on tablets. And
Yeah.
I don't know if it's on Android yet, but I know it's on iOS.
Yep.
But yeah.
Well, that, I don't know. Did it say a price for that thing?
There's two of them. I think the cheapest one is $300, which isn't that bad.
No, that isn't that bad, actually. I'm kind of surprised by that.
Cheaper than an iPad.
It's a lot cheaper than this new TV that Samsung's coming out with, which is
holy crap,
ridiculous. It's a
who would buy this? People have already bought this.
They're crazy people. So Samsung is selling a 105-inch curved Ultra HD television. But the caveat is that it's priced at $120,000.
Yeah, so affordable.
It is.
That's super affordable. I can't believe how cheap that is.
If that's going to be, if I'm going to get a curved one, I just want one that's curved all the way around me, so I actually have to crawl inside something.
screw the Google Eye. I want this TV to be surrounded.
I feel like 105 inches isn't really that big.
No.
Yeah.
I mean,
like, I feel like for $120,000, you could just make yourself a movie theater.
Literally.
That you, like, own, and then you just sit in there.
Easily. You could build an entire, like, you could build an addition and make, like, stadium seating and put in, like, a nice projector and sound and everything, and, $120,000. All right, and my screen is 500 inches.
It's crazy.
I really don't, like, because, I mean, as the pixels get bigger, it's, like, less expensive to produce, so... Like, I really don't understand how this is that expensive. Yeah, I mean, it is 4K resolution, so it's, like, high resolution, but the thing is monstrous, so, like, it just doesn't make sense.
8 feet diagonally, it's just ridiculous.
It's, like, four times the normal size TV, so, then even though it's 4K resolution, it's, like...
It's, like, normal resolution.
It's just, like, sticking a bunch of 42 inches, like, normally together. It's making it giant.
Yeah. It's gonna be... I don't understand it. People have way too much money.
Yeah, I guess if you're in the market for one of these TVs, you're not caring about the price.
Right.
Yeah.
You probably are also driving around in a Lamborghini or, some other $200,000 car.
Yeah, you're showing off this TV to your friends or something. It's like, hey, you seen my new $120,000 TV? At that point, it's not the features of the TV, it's the cost.
Yep.
You're just flaunting it.
Yeah, right.
Douchebag.
DB.
Can only aspire.
It would take about 30 years to buy that TV. go to the bank. Can I take out a mortgage for a TV?
Yeah, right.
Yeah, I'd like to refinance my house so that I can purchase a television to put in it that'll only be good for a couple of years. I mean, it's one of those purchases that it's like buying a brand new car. Where as soon as you take it off the lot, it's like the value is reduced.
Can you imagine if somebody at a school bought this and then they showed up in the recycling bin like?
Yeah, I mean, even like I bought the TV I have now, like, 4 years ago, and the price is, like, half, less than half over 4 years,
Yeah, it's insane how cheap. This is, like, another thing, too, is, like, I was just looking earlier on Slick Deals. There's a four, like, on the Slick Deals, so this is, like, this is, like, an extreme case. There's, at Sears, there's, like, for $320, there's a 47-inch, like flat-screen TV, but you also get $150 in, like, credit to the store.
What?
So it's like really like $150 for like, I'm like, dude, that's ridiculous. I'm like sitting here looking at it thinking like,
you just buy it now.
Maybe I should just make my TV, like my monitor, just a 47-inch monitor and just like plug it into my computer and just like turn my head when I want to like see something.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah. It's insane. Yeah. I mean, that's just normal. There was another one too that's like $400 in Dell, but you get a $150 like Dell gift card and it's like 43 inches. And I'm like, dude, this is fucking insane. Mine was $1,000 like 7 years ago and it's a 42-inch like POS. Yeah. It doesn't even have 1080p.
Yeah.
Yep.
It's just crazy.
It is crazy.
So it's clear that like this TV is overpriced because it's just so unique. There's probably like five of them, and it's just
Is it the first curved like television that's been sold at retail?
Well, they do have some curved displays for like PCs. I don't know, or monitors. Okay. So I don't think it's the first, but it's probably the biggest for sure.
It's crazy.
That is ridiculous. No one will buy that.
Everyone's going to buy it. There's going to be, like, hundreds of thousands of these. We're going to be proved completely wrong on this.
Everyone's going to be in horrible debt.
$120,000.
Yeah. Just wait, like, a year.
It'll be on Slick Deals
in like, yeah, in 7 years it'll be on Slick Deals for like $1,000.
Cubits. I bought a Samsung TV for $5 on Cubits.
But like, in all seriousness, like on Slick Deals, if you waited around for, I bet you for like $1,000 for $1,500, you can get like yourself like a 60-something inch like ultra screen.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
At like least, it's yeah, like definitely. Yeah, it's like okay, yeah, it's like only 60 inches, not 100 inches, but like 60 or 70 inches, like is massive. Like that
you,
can't even fit.
You could buy 10 of them, 100 of them, and build like an entire house of TVs. You could buy 10,000 of those TVs and scrap them and take the metal out of the TVs and then use that to build a car. It'll still be cheaper.
You buy it. You buy like $100,000 LED TVs and you make the inside of your house. The wallpaper is just LED'd, and you just walk in and you're like literally inside of a movie.
You're inside of the architect's room.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Essentially.
That'd be excellent.
It's like the hologram.
I want that now.
Holodeck.
I want to be the lawnmower man.
Jordy!
Reading Rainbow, man.
Take a look in a book. It's Reading Rainbow.
Wasn't that just on Kickstarter?
They
saved up a couple million.
They're relaunching it entirely as like an online online thing for schools.
Who was the guy cool. who just donated a Seth MacFarlane just donated, like, I don't know, $1 million to that, too, or something.
Yes, he should.
Yeah, it's pretty fantastic. LeVar Burton is excellent. One of the levels is you get to wear the thing that he had from Star Trek. Was he Data? Is that his name? No.
Jordy.
Yeah, Jordy. That's right. So
it's crazy.
All right, Steve, you want to catch us up on the Dota 2?
Oh yeah, sorry, that's next up here. So last weekend, Friday to Monday was the main event for the international competition in Dota 2. It's been building up for the last month or so, and last week was actually the week before it was sort of like the playoffs and the seeding for the main event. But the main event was 8 teams. It was in Key Arena in Seattle, and it was sort of like a seeded bracket with buys, essentially. It's a little complicated, and I'm not going to try to explain it all, but essentially there was sort of like a, you know, there was sort of some winners, and they kind of had some buys, and there's a losers bracket. So the first couple days, this sort of filled all that out, and then the last were sort of building up to the grand finals. And I think out of the 8 teams, I think there was one American/Canadian team, and two European teams. I think there was at least one European team, and the rest were basically Chinese. And so there was like obviously a lot of support for the U.S. team, like at the stadium. People were like chanting and stuff, and they actually got to the final three, so that was pretty cool. But ultimately, it ended up being 2 Chinese teams at the end, and this Chinese team called Newbie won it all. And they pretty much crushed in the finals. It was all, you know, the average match in Dota 2 lasts like 20 minutes to 45 minutes, and they all were like under like 20 minutes. It was insane. It was just a beatdown. So it's really cool. I think it was amazing. The coverage was really good. I mean, it wasn't like, you know, NFL quality, but it was pretty damn good for a video game. They had, you know, analysis, they had a panel, they had, you know, like, sort of like the color commentator, the on-field reporter, they had replays, and they had, like, you know, really professional, like, you know, graphics and interfaces, and they essentially had the teams, like, in these soundproof booths, which were, like, kind of like these glass, like, basically like greenhouses in the middle of the stadium. They were soundproof, and then they'd play in those, and then after they'd come out and stuff, and they had, like, you know, for the very grand finals, they had, like, a press conference. It was, like, you know, like a basketball game or something where they had the teams out, and they asked them questions. It was really official. It was really legit, like, just from a production quality. It was on ESPN3, and so it's really cool. I think it was really awesome to see, like, gaming get that kind of, like, coverage, that kind of, like, to get that exposure, to really see, you know, like, explaining to my friends, you know, like, this is why I'm watching this, and this is, like, you know, the prize pool's $10 million, the winner's got $5 million, and, like, you know, even 8th place got, like, $100,000, so, like, it's really cool to, like, see... It was really cool to, like, kind of... It was, like, you know, really, like, I think a big step for competitive gaming to have that kind of exposure. I think my thoughts are, like, Dota 2 is still really, like, too complex, I think, for, you know, to put it on ESPN2. Maybe just, like, the finals match for a couple hours on, like, a like, Sunday or something you probably manage. But, like, I think it's hard for, like, you know, the lay person to really understand the mechanics of a MOBA. It's just, yeah. There's just so much. And even if you understood the mechanics of a MOBA, like, if I were to watch, like, League of Legends right now, I'd still be confused as shit because, like, you know, it's just the heroes are, they may be similar, but they're not the same names, and it's just a very over-complex thing. So it's cool to see that happen. I was excited. It was cool. It was a lot of fun. I enjoyed it. I watched most of it all weekend long. And they do, like, a lot of good things to, like, help, like, getting you to interact. You know, things that were voted on by the people in Dota got, like, presented. They, you know, like, watching games gives you chances to get items and things like that, so it's kind of cool. But I still think there's a big jump to really push competitive gaming to the forefront, like, of the public eye, and that, like, the game has to be simple enough. Counter-Strike and shit like that is really easy, you know, like, for the most part, for a person to understand, okay, I'm trying to kill this guy and put a bomb down here or whatever, right? But, and all the nuances they may not get, but in Dota, it's, like, all nuances.
Yeah.
So it's like, so it was really tailored towards people like me and probably somebody like Charles or somebody who's like played the game. They know the mechanics. They know most of the heroes, but they may not know like all these weird combinations, and they may not know like they can appreciate like people doing really crazy things. And I mean, I learned a lot, I guess, and it was fun. But it's, you know, it's still light years away from being on ABC at 9 o'clock on a Monday, say that.
Yeah.
So very cool stuff. It was really awesome. I don't know if going would have been that cool because it looked kind of shitty. Like, you know, they have like big screens. It's like, you know, it's not a sporting event, so you can't actually like, you know, when they play basketball, it'd be like going to a basketball game and watching the basketball game on the big screen. You know, it was sort of like not that cool because you can't really see it. So I had a friend who went, and he said the screens were kind of shitty quality, and I could kind of tell, like, looking at it, like, probably wasn't that exciting. I mean, it's exciting to, like, be there and cheer and stuff, probably. Like, I'm sure the energy was high, but, like, sitting in your house and watching it on, like, TV that's, like, pure quality or, like, on your computer is probably, like, 1,000 times more, like, yeah. You know, rewarding or, like, better, you know, so.
It's one of those few things where, like, you can watch at home and probably get just as good a perspective as someone actually there.
Yeah. And yeah, it's cool too, because in Dota you can follow the players too. Like, if you really like a certain guy, you can actually like watch where he clicks and does things, and like that's really cool stuff for somebody like maybe that's aspiring or like really like understands a lot. So it was cool. It was a lot of fun.
I heard some people were kind of disappointed in the finals that there wasn't as big of a like as close of a match as they were hoping
for.
Yeah,
it was basically a beatdown. And there was like a lot of conspiracy theories out there that like it was like a throw, that there was like it was fixed. I don't know if there's a lot, but I like heard some stuff that like, you know, potentially the like winning team's dad was really, really rich, like a billionaire, and like that, like he one of the guys like paid him off the other team. I don't know. But yeah, it was pretty bad. A lot of the games before were much more entertaining. That game was pretty much just a beatdown. I wasn't really even paying that much attention after, like, first 5 minutes. I was like, okay, this sucks. So, but, I mean, there's nothing you can do. That's also one of the weird things about Dota is that, like, there's no fixed time. It's not like soccer where the game ends in 90 minutes or it goes to extra time. And it's like, this game could be 20 minutes or it can be an hour. And so if you have a best of five, it could be 3 20-minute-long games for an hour, or it could be five 1-hour-long games, and it could be, like, you know, so the timing is weird because it could be like a 7-hour time slot with breaks, or it can be like an hour and a half. So it's just like really kind of tough. And you could tell they tried to do their best to like if the games were short, they would talk more in between them and stuff. And they were really trying to like draw things out if they thought it was going to be short, but there's nothing you can do about it. It's just the nature of those styles of games. They end when they end. So yeah.
Crazy. Legitimate.
I went on my Dota 2 rant, sorry.
No, that's cool.
No problem.
So I think we had one listener question this week. which I'm just going to throw out there. I know we've talked about this on past podcasts before, but this is from at the man Gonzalez, and he says, I'm a semi-new listener, but what is your guys' opinions on virtual reality and the future it may or may not have? We've talked a little bit about it, and you know, I think we've gone over positives and negatives, but the I think my general feeling is, if it's actually supported, you know, because what's the main one that Facebook just bought? Wow,
Oculus.
Thank you. I'm blanking on it.
It's okay.
You know, if they have the actual software support, and you know, Sony on the PlayStation 4 has the software support, then I think it could be a sweet peripheral. But I don't see it as something that, you know, people are going to want, at least not yet, as something that people are going to want to play on a daily basis.
Yeah, I mean, I think you can tell right away that it's still another couple iterations away from being used. I mean, if it was going to be, like, used all the time, we'd all have one right now already. We'd all want to buy it. And, like, the fact that we're all kind of, like, and even people that try it are like, oh, it's really cool, but that's just what it is, means that it's not, like, something you're going to replace your monitor with, like, anytime today. Like, so it's close, though. I mean, and that's how all those things work. You know, some fizzle out and some don't. I mean, the Rumble Pack was VR and didn't work so great. But, like, you know, other things that we use are just, like, normal to us. Like, I mean, like curved screens. I don't know. You know, that's silly. But, like, you know what I mean? Like, there's certain things that stick and certain things that don't. And I think they will stick if they're good. I think that there will be more. I think that the Oculus Rift, this is my opinion, I think that it's cool. I think that, like, eventually, like, that could be something that, like, gets used, especially for certain genres of games, but I think, like, right now, it's got a little bit more of a ways to go.
Yeah, I think it's one of those things that has, you know, an insane amount of potential, but it all comes down to execution. And I think, at least for the Oculus Rift, you know, I think Facebook buying it was a good thing, because that, you know, it has a lot of capital behind it, a lot of chance to, like, really grow. And either, I mean, in a lot of instances with things like that, either one company needs to make it huge and then everyone kind of follows them, or, you know, a bunch of companies have to really compete on it at the same time. And we haven't really seen that with VR. It's kind of like this thing that people are, a lot of companies are too afraid to, like, delve too deeply in. Because there's been so many, like, failures in the past, it just has never really caught on. But I think what it really needs is, like, a standardization. Like, they need a standard VR thing, and that's hard to develop when everyone's kind of doing their own thing. But I think if there's one company that's really made like inroads in trying to do that, it's Oculus. And you know, they've gone through a few iterations now, but you know, if we get to a point where we can kind of, like, standardize the VR hardware, or at least, you know, the resolution and stuff like that, you'll see the competition, and then we'll finally kind of see, like, a healthy VR market, and at that point it'll explode.
Yeah, it also helps that Facebook bought them.
Yeah, exactly. I was just going to say, it's a good point, because when you know you get a company that big in, they're very likely not going to scrap it. So there's just a lot. There's just too much of an investment, too much time. So it's a good point. I don't know if we've already said that before, but probably.
Well, thank you, the man Gonzalez. We appreciate you listening. Hopefully we answered your question.
I'm still waiting for a smell machine. Yeah, I'm still waiting for a smell machine.
Yeah, once the Oculus Rift has, you know, that puff of whatever
puts
scent
these little
that
things
comes
in
out,
your nose, and then just
and,
makes stuff
also
you
something
like,
that tickles
feel,
your
it smells
your
like
face.
Cow shit, and then it's like just like. Just like, this is so real.
It's like those rides at Disney that, like, touch the back of your legs or whatever.
There's a rat, and it smacks you in the legs. You're like, ah!
I wish they'd, like, I don't know if you guys ever went on, I think it was called Alien Encounter. It was, like, the scariest ride at Disney.
Yeah.
And they turned it into Lilo and Stitch. Like, come on now.
Are you serious? They turned it into Lilo and Stitch?
Yeah, they got rid of Alien Encounter.
Oh, come on. Wow. Wait, the aliens breathing hot air on the back of your neck? And then
it was like terrifying. It would like touch you, and like, well, it was like pitch black. Well, it was in like a tank, and then the tank exploded and it got loose, and then you could feel it like walking around, and like you could feel it breathing on you, and it would like, it, you know, there was water, perspiration and stuff. It was just creepy. But
I remember now it's
Lilo and Stitch. I guess it was too scary for little kids.
Boom. They're like, Stitch got out, and he's breathing on your neck. You're like, ah!
He's like, so you gotta watch out.
All right.
That's crazy.
Well, I think that's gonna bring us to our newly formed top four. Since there are four of us, and we're each gonna give one, it only makes this only makes sense. So. Our top four this week is the top four worst things that happened to us, I think, during the past 2 weeks of hiatus that we went on. So, Charles, do you want to start us out?
Absolutely. So we went to a wedding in Queechy, Vermont, that was for Jess's cousin, and we were anticipating a open bar. We were anticipating a dinner that didn't suck, and on both counts, we were disappointed. We went to this place called Simon Pierce Glass Company, and they were trying way too hard to produce good food, but they just failed miserably. And then the next day, when we went to their reception dinner, it's one thing if you have it and it's, you have a limited selection of drinks that you can have, but they just made it a complete cash bar, so nobody was drinking. So it was a pretty terrible wedding. And then I got roped into giving all the children who were there their chicken nugget bibs, because the catering staff at the place they had it at were freaking out about, well, who are we supposed to give these things to? Just, you got waitstaff, ask them. So dealing with children and not being... having imbibed on alcohol was the worst experience in the last 2 weeks for me.
That sounds awful.
That does sound awful. I was actually, when you were saying, and they had me, they asked me to do something with the kids, I thought you were going to say that you were going to give, like, piggyback rides to children, because I feel like being up on your shoulders would be the best gift
bad.
Ever. Charles is going to bull run through crowd of people.
If we were on the golf course, I would have just gotten in the golf cart and driven off.
Give me the child. Give me the child. Tim, what's the worst thing that's happened to you in the past few weeks?
Me and my fiance flew back to Massachusetts to we went to a wedding, and I went to work for like a week, and when we flew back, our flight was originally supposed to leave at 9:30 out of Boston, and we were going to land in Chicago at like 11:30 or something like that. But our flight got delayed. I actually got an email at like 7 a.m. saying that the flight was going to be delayed until 11:30, so that's like a two-hour delay. And I was like, all right, I guess that's not that bad. But anyway, so we got there, and then they kept delaying it, so it got delayed to like 12-something, got delayed till like 1:30, and then we didn't end up leaving until like 2 a.m., so it was kind of like an all-nighter. So that was our flight. It was like Monday night, I think. Our flight, we ended up landing at like 3-something in Chicago, and we got home at like 5:30, and then I had to get up at 7 for work. So basically just didn't sleep. And it was just kind of really annoying to have like a four-hour delay. But then the crazy part, though, was that our flight was delayed. The flight that was coming was delayed. So the flight, it was coming out of Newark into Logan. And so the plane landed at, it was like 1:30 when the plane, or like 1:15 when the plane landed. And people were getting off, and just randomly Steve Deal from Sanchi comes off the plane. I'm like, what the hell? Like, what are the chances of the plane that I'm going to get on, he gets off? And so he got off, and I said hi to him. I don't think he knew who I was, so I was just like this random lurking dude with a giant-ass beard. I was like, hey. But, yeah, it was just really, really, you know, one of those small world moments.
That's sweet. And a wonderful crazy end to your terrible excursion.
Yeah. It almost made up for it, but not quite at all.
Did you? This is sidetracked, sort of, but did you see the video of Steve Deal on the Mechanical Bull? It's on Facebook.
I didn't see this.
Okay, we'll check it out, because it's hilarious. He's on there with some other guy, and it's really funny. Okay, so I guess I'll go next. Same with Charles. I didn't go to the same wedding, but I went to a different one, and the drinking was partially on my choice, because I chose not to drink because I was a DD, because it was Dana's friend's wedding. So I was like, all right, whatever, you know, and, you know, these guys can drink and do whatever they want. And so I was completely sober all night long, and they served lobster at the wedding, which was sweet. Except that I sit down and I'm like, I'm really slow apparently eating, because I'm sitting down and like Dana's like, I can't finish this, it's taking too long. I'm the only one left at it's one long table, and it's me and the groom's aunt Judy, which are still sitting at the table eating lobster, like by ourselves, and I'm a filthy mess. And then later on, like, so people like nobody was really dancing all night, and I was just like, you know, this is ridiculous. Like I got them to play like CNC Music Factory and like all these like good 90s songs, and just nobody was getting up. I just don't think it was the right crowd. So this is the worst thing. Like, I was completely sober, and I was just like, all right, I need to do something, because like I just kind of wasn't, you know, I wasn't enjoying myself at the time. So I went up and I did several of the dance moves from Beyonce's All the Single Ladies by myself on the dance floor. And everyone was like, what the fuck is going on right now? So I was just like dancing around and throwing my knees back and forth, and it was definitely the worst,
because you need to dance when you're at a wedding.
Yeah, I was like, I need to dance right now. And I was like, I was with some Danish friends and stuff. I was like, nobody wants to dance. Nobody wants to get up. Come on, like, come up and dance. And nobody would dance. So that was the worst thing I did by choice. Awful.
The will was strong.
Steve, what was your worst thing?
Okay, so crazy thing that happened to me. I was, so after like being in South Dakota for like a week and having like dug up all these rocks, which I sent back in UPS, I also had some rocks on me that were like, you know, nice, like cool ones that I like kept. So I had them on me. I like went to the flight. Rapid City Airport is like tiny. It's like four gates, and I'm sitting there waiting for my like flight to Chicago. I have a flight from Chicago back to like Boston, and I'm like sitting there, and then like after like the flight's been delayed like 25-30 minutes, I'm like, shit, like I have a connection that's like only an hour gap, so like I really need to get there. And then finally someone goes over the intercom like, yeah, there's gonna be a delay because somebody like landed at the airport without using their landing gear, so we need to clean up the mess. And I'm just like sitting there like looking around like, is this like normal? Because I feel like that's really bad, and it's not something I want to hear when I get onto an airplane. So anyways, the flight like landed, and it was like we were ended up being an hour late, and I sprinted across O'Hare like from one end of like to the other end. It was like the worst, and the flight like left, and then it just sat on the like runway for like an hour without me. So I ended up having to like stay at the airport and like fly out really early in the morning. And when I went to come back in the airport, I had all these rocks in my bag, and like the like people at O'Hare were like, bag check, and they got out the bomb stuff, and they were like swiping it all over my bag and shit, and I was like, dude, it's rocks. I came from South Dakota. So that's that. And also one more ridiculous thing, when I was camping in upper like northern New Hampshire, I saw a lady pushing around a stroller with a cat tied into it, so I really wanted to get a picture. I don't know why I didn't. I was just so like focused on driving. It's probably a good move, but
that's excellent.
The cat looked terrified. He looked like it was like,
where are you taking me?
I probably would not have been surprised at all.
Which was probably like a normal occurrence.
Yeah, it was ridiculous.
Oh, so, nice.
I think that brings us to the time of the podcast when we talk about what we've been playing. So, Tim, what have you been playing?
I'm ashamed to say it, but I've been playing WoW. I can't cut the habit. I quit WildStar. You know, I kind of got burnt out on that. But I played a little bit of Wolfenstein, and then I still have that ongoing. I bought like way too many games on the summer sale, so I haven't been able to play half of them. But I have another 90 now in WoW. It's sick. I need help. That's about it.
So much grinding.
Yeah, lots of grinding.
Charles, what about
you? I am right now playing Tomb Raider. I actually like it a lot. It reminds me a lot of a better plot version of Far Cry 3. You get deserted on some island and you're like... And funnily enough, it reminded me a little bit of the horror game that we've totally disowned. I can't remember the name of it now. What was it?
Impact? The Evil Within?
The Evil Within with the Oni. And I was startled at how terrifying that sequence was, because all of a sudden you're in this little den and there's like cut off arms and heads just rolling around next to you. And I was like, and a river of blood in Tomb Raider. And I was like, this is not like any of the Tomb Raiders that I remember playing.
No.
It's very graphic, but I liked it a lot. So I'm still playing that one. I think the reason I think the plot is Tomb Raider is so much better is because the protagonist is such a better character, whereas the protagonist in Far Cry was this like vacationing dick.
Yeah.
He's just a terrible person, and he's going on a rampage to save his friends and family, whereas Lara Croft has the whole backstory. She's an archaeologist, so it just seems better.
Yep, it is. You haven't finished it, right?
I have not.
It's good. It's very good.
It's pretty good, yeah.
I enjoyed it a lot. Steve,
what
about you?
You don't even need to ask me what I've been playing, man.
Dota 2.
Yeah,
Dota
I haven't. 2. I like since I was like out in the wilderness of South Dakota, and then I was also like out camping. I haven't really played much. So like every like non-sleeping, non-eating, non-like working moment of my life has been dedicated towards like trying to make up all the Dota time I miss, which sucks too because like the whole international was like all these bonuses for like that, and I was just like out like. Crying like in the woods, like that.
Have they added in
out.
Any new heroes recently?
They just released a new hero at the International called Goblin Techies, which can suicide and blow up and kill people.
Nice,
but they haven't added it. I don't know when that gets added in. It's like kind of weird. You can't add that many. It's 102 guys. Like I mean, at a certain point where it's just like there's just way too many fucking heroes. So. But yeah. That's it. I got a bunch of games. I might get this Humble Bundle that's up for Square Enix, and then I still got The Witcher 2, and I still got Watch Dogs. I have so many games I need to beat.
No.
It's going to take you a long time.
Yeah, it's going to, yeah.
Just take a week off of everything and play nonstop video games.
I just can't try to perfect it. I just have to, like, beat the storyline and leave. Otherwise, I'm going to be, like, playing these games for the rest of my life.
Yeah, just drink
that's
five.
That's what I do. I just move on.
Five-hour energies a day. Stay up 24 hours.
Yeah, just drink all five of them and you wake up and you go for 25 hours.
The 5-hour energy is just a flavor shot for a Red Bull.
Yeah, basically. They're terrible. They don't taste good.
The pink lemonade ones are okay.
They all taste the same.
I didn't know there was different all flavors. Taste the grape ones are terrible, actually. That's the one they always give out for free and tastes like shit.
They're trying to get rid of it. It's probably the same ones they've had for like 10 years now.
I'm fine with the flavor because I don't taste it.
Yeah.
We just have them at PAX. Although they weren't at PAX this year, which is a bummer.
Yeah, that was bullshit. I was so tired.
Nikolai.
Okay. Well, I'm still playing Watch Dogs, I guess the big thing I've been playing is that I've sunk in quite a few hours into the Destiny beta on PS4, and it's pretty fantastic. I'm loving it so far, because like I've played the story campaign by myself. I've joined a fire team with a couple guys that I know on PS4, and altogether there's like random events that happen in each level. There's like your main goal, which you have to go to, but then and complete. But then there's also like random events that happen, which you can gain like additional loot and like cash and weapons and whatnot if you complete it. And it's just like you'll be on this one level, and a drop ship will come over, and you have to kill all the guys from that first drop ship. And it's like three waves of guys that you have to kill. So you kill them within a certain amount of time, and then another dropship comes to another spot, and you have to follow them over there, and then you have to kill them within a certain amount of time, and then same thing for the third. And, like, they get progressively more difficult with each wave. And if you do all the waves within a certain amount of time, then you get, like, a bunch of experience and cash and loot and stuff. And, like, it's very similar to Borderlands in the sense that it's just, like, you know, there's, like, you know, loot bins in caves, and you know, there might be you know, it'll give you a bunch of money, or you know, and the money you spend back in the this place called the Tower, which is actually like a social area for all like a bunch of different players. So you'll be seeing like other people that you're not playing against, but like there's an armory, there's like a ship bay that you can upgrade your ship. There's like you can find like these card things in the world, and you take them to this guy, and he like basically figures it out, and it'll give you like armor or or like a new weapon or something, and you don't know what it is until that guy's actually like deciphered the code of it or whatever. And yeah, there's a, you know, I think I'm level 6, and I think I don't know how the leveling system works at this point, like what the level cap is or like what happens after that, but it's sweet. I'm definitely gonna sink a lot of hours into it, and you know, you're on Earth, and there's like a bunch of different places you can go to on Earth, but then there's like spots on the moon that you can go to, and DLC is gonna open up like I think like Mars and Mercury, Venus and Jupiter, and like all these other planets that you can go to. And there's like different vehicles on planets you can unlock, and different ships you can unlock in between planets. And it's crazy. There's a lot to it. And, I'm excited for it to actually launch and see how it all works. 'Cause like some stuff, there's like these things called grimoire cards, which like tell you information about the world, and you collect them, and they do something for you, but they haven't actually revealed in the beta what they do for you yet. So I don't know. It's cool. There's a lot to it, and you know, I'm sure you've seen screenshots or watched videos and stuff, but it's, you know, the game's gorgeous, and there's tons of weapons. There's three different classes. There's Titan, Hunter, and I think Warlock, and they each have like different skills and attributes and stuff. So it's cool. It's really cool. And there's going to be,
that's cool. I didn't realize it was so detailed. I thought it was like Halo.
Yeah, I know. It's a, you know, it definitely pulls a lot from Halo. And I think all the good things from Halo. But you like, we'll be, you'll go to, you'll like enter a level, and you'll be with your fire team, and you'll be going to an objective, and like you have to destroy this one big guy at the end of this one level called the Devil's Lair, and you know, there might be two other fire teams or whatever that you meet up with, and then you all work together to destroy that one common enemy, which is cool. So
that's fun.
Yeah, it's gonna be awesome. I'm very excited for September 9th or whatever day it comes out. Yeah, that's about it. I also downloaded the fourth episode of The Walking Dead Season 2. So, that'll finish all up right, too. I'll probably play that at work. So that brings us to the end of the podcast. I want to thank all of our listeners. Hopefully you're continuing to listen to us after 2 weeks.
Sorry about that, guys.
Yeah, sorry. Summertime is a busy time, so
I got the summertime sadness.
thank you.
Otherwise
thank
known you. As Ebola.
Thank you, at the man Gonzalez, for writing in this week. We appreciate it. And thank you, Tim. Thank you, Charles. Thank you, Steve. I'm Nick. This has been Late Night Gamers Podcast, episode number 43. And we're done. That's it.
Adios.
Later. Late night gamers.
Steve, this game sucks so bad and so unbalanced, blah, and I just quit and never play it ever again.
Carlos,
what do you do in your free time? Sit around knitting? Screw that shit, I'm gonna cut up a dragon's head.
It's okay if your guts spill out and you explode into a bloody mess, as long as you don't take your clothes off.
Late night gamers.
I gotta try and remember how to start this podcast. I don't even remember anymore.
What is up, everybody?
We can literally just cut that out from like all the other podcasts. Hey. It's like exactly the same every time.
Episode number 43.
I think it's great when like there's a couple episodes where like something happened right before you went to say it, so you kind of start off like laughing at something, but like it's completely out of context. Like you're just like, oh, what is up? Like there was like okay.
Total nonsense.